My name is Matt Cusan. I am a singer-songwriter. I am a pianist, a little bit of a guitarist. I actually write a lot on guitar. Originally born and raised in a town called Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And then I moved to Boston to go to Berklee College of Music for a couple years. And then, you know, as it goes after that, I was L.A., New York, L.A., New York, L.A., New York for the last 15 years. I came from a very musical family. My dad was a choir director and a songwriter. And he also played a little piano as well. My mom was a classical pianist, and I started playing piano, I want to say around six or so. I used to bang on it, but I started actually playing my first song, which was Ribbon in the Sky by Stevie Wonder at 6 years old. Fans can find me at, I'm on all the social media sites, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I seem to be using Instagram a lot more these days. Everything is at Matt Cusan, M-A-T-T-C-U-S-S-O-N. I'm on iTunes, I'm on all the streaming services, just at Matt Cusan.
Everybody, welcome to the Add to My Playlist podcast. I'm so happy today. I get to talk to an artist that I've been watching and following for some time now, and I'm thrilled. I really don't understand how this is happening, but I'm so happy. Matt Cusan's on with me, and we're going to be talking about a lot of great music. So if you love jazz, soul, pop, rock, everything, just put it all in a blender. And then add a little bit of cool. You got Matt. So Matt, welcome to the podcast.
I'm glad I got the cool.
You got the cool.
Thank you so much for having me. Never been cool. So it's nice to have a little bit of cool in there.
It's so great having you here.
I'm thrilled to be here, man. Man, I appreciate you having me.
So good, man. So I'm going through your website. I'm looking at some of these people that you've worked with and collaborated with. Stevie Wonder, Christina Aguilera, James Taylor, The Roots, CeeLo Green, Boys to Men, yeah, Boys to Men, Brian McKnight, come on, and more, so much more. I just keep reading all day. Tell me a little bit, Matt, who inspires you musically? Is there somebody that you really look up to? Where does all this come from, your whole musical journey? I'd love to know some of your biggest musical inspirations in your life, because what an impressive list.
All those people, honestly. I grew up in a very, very musical family. My dad was a choir director and a songwriter and a piano player for most of his childhood and teenage years until he kind of gave up music in his 20s. And my mom was a classical piano teacher. So every single day I would wake up and my mom had 65 students. And from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., I would hear kids and adults learning how to play the piano, some advanced, some just beginning. I'd hear all the exercises. And then when she was done, my dad would get home and he would immediately go into the living room and play his usually jazz records. So there was always, you know, classical and jazz surrounding me. And then I'm 10 years younger than my older brother, 12 years younger than my sister. So I was kind of an only child, and they each liked, my sister liked the funk R&B stuff. My brother liked the singer-songwriter Billy Joel stuff. So I had a bit of everything, just kind of, you know, cascading over me as a child. And I soaked every bit of it in. I started banging on the piano when I was maybe 5 or 6. And I started playing piano when I was like 7. Ribbon in the Sky being the first song by Stevie Wonder that I ever learned. And, it's just always been a part of me, and I've listened to every one of those artists that you mentioned my entire life, as if they were out, or, you know, as long as they've been. And the inspiration comes from the family, and now it comes from my wife and daughter, and it comes from wanting to be a part of everything that comes out. It's very hard work, music business, as we know. It's not an easy business to be in, but it's, you know, every day I listen to Bill Evans and I get inspired every single time I listen to Bill Evans, and I listen to him all the time. Stevie, all of them, Miles Davis, James Taylor, Paul Simon, all of them. I just take something from everybody. I have about 5,000 CDs in my basement that I'm ripping on my computer now. So I'm going to have a lot of songs to listen to, and inspiration comes from everywhere. It really does. A generic answer to your question, but it really does.
And then it's one thing to listen to this music and let it influence you. It's another thing to be in their presence and do life with these people and have time with them, right?
Yeah.
Like, I just can't imagine just sharing the stage. Like, I watched you when with Brian McKnight on stage and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, what an amazing talent. What an amazing voice.
Oh,
and
man.
Just to know you get to share the stage with somebody like that. And
That's a dream come true. I met him when I was 18, and I was at Berklee at the time at College of Music in Boston. And we just happened to be at the same place, same time, had a couple mutual friends. I played for him that day, and literally he was like, what are you trying to do? I was like, I don't know. I'm at school now. And he was like, you want to stay in school? I was like, I don't know. If the right opportunity comes along, I literally dropped out of school that night, and I flew to his house in Los Angeles the next day, and we started writing in together. And it's a crazy, crazy story. And then I started performing with him maybe 5-6 years after that. Maybe a little later, maybe 7 years after that. And I toured with him for 8 years. I opened up for him for a couple of years. We sang a duet for a long time together during his show. It's been a surreal, cause I loved him when I was growing up. I think I first heard him when I was like 6 or 7, and I was obsessed. I was like, okay, the voice, the piano playing, the songwriting, it's all there. Like, this guy's incredible. So to actually work with him and have him be that close, you know, he was a mentor for me for a long time is pretty surreal.
So when Brian McKnight takes you off to the side to give you a little insight or wisdom or knowledge, what kind of things is he speaking into you as a new artist?
No, he musically first taught me, I mean, our early studio sessions, just to see how he works, to see how the song starts here and it ends up here. That was such a lesson, because I up until then, I was just in my room recording on my, you know, keyboards. I had a Triton or whatever it was back then, and I would just record into, you know, I think Digital Performer back, I was using way back then, and I would make these records and they were fine, and, you know, but to see him do it and to be in his studio at 18, it's priceless. You can't learn. There's a little baby bubby. I'll be right out. I told you she was going to interrupt.
See, I love it. I love it.
This is real life right here. So the lessons of being with him in the studio, being with him on the road, the touring with him and the studio time with him, he would pull me aside and tell me how hard it is and things I should work on and this and that. But my favorite lessons of him was literally sound checks or like moments like that. Or like afterwards, we would go have a jam session somewhere in some bar in Tokyo. But my biggest part is just looking over his shoulder at him playing piano and saying, wait, do that again. What did you just do there? Like, they're just things that I play for forever. And people ask me now, where'd you learn that? I'm like, oh, McKnight showed me that. Like, it's every time with him is just an incredible memory and stuff I take with me forever.
Is there another artist that really had a huge impact on you early on?
Personally, in person. James Taylor's brother Livingston, who I still work with. Livingston Taylor I took his class at Berklee, and after the first class, we started performing together. He would just have me at his shows to perform a few songs with him. He was a massive, massive, we're working on a record together now. So it's pretty cool to have that, you know, 20 years ago, and now we're working on a record together. It's really cool. Livingston, Brian McKnight, Brian McKnight's band, my friend Rob Lewis, who introduced me to Brian McKnight, he's probably one of the most talented people I know. He's been musical director for McKnight, New Kids on the Block, Christina Aguilera, Babyface, like you name it, he's played with them. He's got music on Nickelodeon, on, you know, Anderson .Paak's last record. He's worked with everybody. He taught me so much, arranging wise, production wise. I'm actually doing a show with him next week, so I haven't seen him, in a long time, so it'd be great. But there's been a smattering of people, both famous and non-famous, who have helped me since, 10 years old when I took my first voice lesson. I still see that voice teacher today, once every few months.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. Yeah. I keep them all around, you know?
That's a good testament right there. So for this podcast, we love to talk about a song, and then we love to invite people listening to the podcast to add the song to their playlist. Kind of the name of the podcast. There's a few songs that really stuck out to me that I would love to kind of get some behind the scenes information.
Sure.
The first one I think I would love to talk about is I saw you in a nice suit with really cool shoes being interviewed on this carpet that was really, really red.
Okay.
Can you kind of fill in the gap here a little bit? Because it was a really good interview.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got nominated for my very first Grammy this year for Best Arrangement, a cappella or instrumental. Yeah, thank you. It's still crazy. We didn't get it, but it's all good because when you're nominated for a Grammy, the other nominees are usually, you know, as good as they get. So you can't be mad that you didn't get it. But it was for a song, How Deep Is Your Love by the Bee Gees, an arrangement I did for a group called King's Return. Four voices, four of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard in my life. They are the sweetest human beings. It's just a joy to work with those guys and to know them now. And I'm actually, when we get off our interview, we're going to start a new arrangement for their Christmas album that's coming out next year. They're the kind of guys that they're groups like that are why I play music, to hear them sing my arrangements, to hear just everything they do and watch them grow as artists and as a group. And it's just incredible. So, yeah, it literally started during the pandemic with a random Instagram message and, hey, you like your arrangements. Would you arrange for us? I said, sure. Needed the money. We just had a baby. So always need the money when we have a baby. We just moved from New York to Massachusetts because the advice we got from everybody was, move near your family. You're going to need the help. And, we didn't have a place to live yet. So we were in my parents' guest house. All my studio gear was in, storage, and I was on this little makeshift laptop with an interface. And, it came together in a few days. And here we are a couple years later with a Grammy nomination and working on another album. So it's crazy how this stuff works out.
And I love the fact that when you're being interviewed, you talk family, and that meant a lot to me watching that and just gushing on your daughter and all of that. That was such a great moment because in that moment, typically it's about the person being interviewed, not mm-hmm. so much their family. And you spun that around really well. And it speaks highly of you. So I really like that. It was a great moment.
Yeah. They're the reason why I do most of what I do. So I was upset that they couldn't be there with me. So I guess that was my way of pretending they were there with me, is talking about them every time somebody asked, you know?
Well, the next one, when you cross the stage, they'll be there. That's for sure.
Well, let's hope so. You never know.
See? Okay. So, that's an amazing song. So let's do that right now. Let's invite everyone to add to your playlist. Hence the name of the podcast, How Deep Is Your Love, King's Return, Grammy nominated, Best Arrangement, or Instrumental or Acapella. This is amazing. It's a great song. So let's add this to our playlist right here on the Add to My Playlist podcast. Here we go.
Hey, gentlemen, tell us who you are, what you're here for, how are you feeling tonight?
My name is Matt Cusan. We are nominated for Best Arrangement for an arrangement I did for the group King's Return. This is Gabe Kunda.
This is Gabe Kunda from King's Return. Pleasure to be here.
And how we're feeling tonight?
I mean,
Speechless. Yeah, a kid in a candy shop, a young 3-year-old in a guitar store, like just looking around. We're here as nominees, but we're also fans, and it's pretty surreal. It can't put it into words.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty special Grammy night. There's a lot of people here. Who are you most excited to see perform tonight?
Jay-Z. Yeah. I'm ecstatic to see Jay-Z.
If I see Beyonce, I think I'm going to fall out. It's going to happen. So, yeah.
If the Queen Bee comes strolling by, it's like, it's done. Yeah, it's over.
Yeah. We both just almost passed out when Taylor Swift passed us. Yeah. So it could be anybody.
Exactly. And she was looking gorgeous, as
usual.
Oh, my
God. Incredible. Yes. As always.
Now, where were you guys when you found out you were nominated? What happened? What went through your mind? Let's hear it.
Go first. Man, we set up our camera just in case something came through. And we were at home watching it on Zoom. And then the nomination came out. And we were like, and then I pick up my phone. I call Matt. I'm like, dude, your arrangement just got nominated for freaking best. And we were just going crazy.
For me, it was, I was chasing around my 2-year-old. I knew they were being announced, but I couldn't pay too much attention to it. My phone starts blowing up. I called him right away, and he's a bass, and he was an alto.
I sing bass in the group.
He was alto when he told me that I was nominated, that we were nominated, and it just immediately changed everything. I was in tears. I was at my dad's house. I could celebrate it with my dad, which was beautiful. And then I had to immediately go find my little girl, where she was, what trouble she was getting into. So it was crazy.
Having a good time with your kids? Are you showing them, you know, how important music is and what it means to you?
There's not a day that goes by we don't listen to all the best music in the world, whether it's Taylor Swift or Bill Evans or Miles Davis. Like, from the moment we wake up, I have background music on just so she can process it. And all of a sudden, she likes a Bill Evans song. And I'm like, wait, you're into jazz now? Yeah. So, and then we don't go to bed without a dance party. So we're dancing to Shake It Off every single night. And Tori Kelly, we're dancing to all these wonderful, everything from Sing. And she's got the music gene for sure. She's a musician. She's only two, but she's a musician.
Yeah. Okay, so we're back with Matt here on the Add to My Playlist podcast. On to the next one. Here we go.
Thanks.
So some other songs I'd love to talk about. One of the newer ones, No Light Yet,
yeah,
which just came out recently. Can you talk to a little bit about this one? I think this is one we're going to ask people to add to their playlist. But let's talk about No Light Yet.
Awesome. Yeah. So No Light Yet I guess, you know, during the pandemic, a lot of eyes were opened with the George Floyd situation, with all the situations that we saw, the Ahmaud Arbery, and they continue to happen. And you just, you're in a home, you're trapped, you feel helpless. And after talking to a lot of my friends, I kind of just sat down one day and created the track, almost to completion. And it was my way of, I called a couple of my friends and I said, listen, here's a track. I have what I want to say during the bridge. I kind of want to be a beacon of light, sort of, as far as, hey, this, we can make it better. But I wanted them to say whatever they've been wanting to say for however long, or have a platform to say something they didn't get to say yet, something like that. So I literally just, I said, don't worry about the melody, don't worry about the lyrics, whatever you want to say, this is yours. Mm-hmm. We split the song three ways because they wrote just as much as I did. And it, I think it came out really powerful. And then the video, who, you know, Outpost and, Kampung Monsters, from Indonesia, they put the whole thing together. And it's one of the more powerful things that I've ever been a part of. But same thing with the singers and the writers. I was like, I want whatever you guys hear when you hear the song, I want you guys to just create your art and say whatever you wanted to say. And that goes to the cover art done by my friend Antana, or Ananta, sorry. And, I think it was just here's a platform. Everybody do what you do best and say what you've been wanting to say. And that's how that song came about. And it's crazy, all the amazing artists that are on that and that came in and how it ended up. I'm really happy about it.
Amazing. Okay, so this is No Light Yet. We're going to invite everyone to add this to your playlist here. And for those that aren't listening on Spotify, we want you included too. We're going to have links to the YouTube videos.
Yes.
Make sure you head over to Matt's YouTube channel as well. We'll have links to all this stuff. But this is No Light Yet here on the Add to My Playlist podcast with Matt Guzon. You gotta add this to your playlist. You gotta. It's brand new, people. This is it for you. So here you go.
Appreciate it.
Hey guys, just jumping on here quick. This is the Add to My Playlist podcast. My name is Dave. If you go to our website, truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist, you can now leave us a voicemail and we'll put you on the podcast. Yes, you can be on the podcast. We would love to have you on. Leave us a message when you go there. This is what it sounds like. I recorded one. I'm going to insert it right here so you can hear what it sounds like. Leave us a message. Tell us what your favorite episode was. Who else should we talk about on the podcast? Who should we have as a guest? You tell us. Your voice on our podcast. I love this. Here we go. This is what it sounds like. So I'm over here on truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist. I'm on the website for the Add to My Playlist podcast. I see a great video looking for guests. I see all kinds of great stuff here about the Add to My Playlist podcast. And then there's this button. It says, leave us a message. We want to hear from you. A podcast that wants to hear from its listeners? OMG. Yes, you can go to truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist. And you can click the link and record a message, which we will include in our podcast. Do you want to hear your voice in the podcast? Leave us a comment. Leave us a suggestion. Hey, if you have a song that you want to hear featured on the Add to My Playlist podcast, record it right here on the website. We'll use you in the episode, and we'll give you full credit. Go to truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist, hit the button, record a message, and we'll put you on the podcast. Thanks for listening to the Add to My Playlist podcast. So head over to truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist. Leave us a voicemail. Very simple. Come on, don't wait. We want to hear from you. Thanks. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. That was No Light Yet. You're on the Add to My Playlist podcast. Matt is here with us. We're going to talk about a song that's a little bit older.
Yeah.
We're going to pull one out from back in the day. Here's to you and me, Matt. Yes. Let's talk about this one.
Oh,
let's
man.
Go. Come on.
So I wrote that song with my dear friend Dave Thiel, who's a phenomenal singer-songwriter out in California. And I kind of came up with the idea. It was an ode to my parents, kind of, as far as I don't remember the moment actually, but I remember them cheersing. I think it had to be like an anniversary or Valentine's, something love related. And they were cheersing and they said, "Here's to us." And I was like, "Oh, done." And I actually started to write that one on guitar. And that's one of those songs that the lyrics just kind of poured out. You didn't have to sit there and edit and figure out rhymes. They just kind of came. And then I brought it to my friend Dave Thiel, who helped me produce it as well. And he just added everything that it didn't have. The beautiful guitar stuff, the pre-choruses he wrote. So it was a nice collaborative effort. And I told him about my parents. I told him about the concept of the tune and how it could also be from the singer to a woman as well. Or to the, whoever they love as well. That's an old song. I love that you brought it up. It's very old. That one was always stuck out with people too. It still gets requested at my shows. And, I hope it's an ode to lovers all over the world.
So is this one of those songs that makes you smile when you see it on the set list?
I do. Yeah, I do. Cause I usually don't put it on the set list, but somebody always ends up either, "Hey, can you play Here's to Me?" Mm-hmm. or during the show shouts it out. And I always have to play a bit of it. Mm-hmm. It's definitely, cause it brings back memories too of recording it in LA and other friends that I remember, Brian McKnight's tour, guitar player, Tyrone Chase, who is all over my last couple records as well. He was like, "That's my jam." He's like, you got to play that. You got to play that. So it was just these little memories come up with every song. So, I'm stoked that you brought that one up. It's been a while.
See? Okay. So here's to you and me, Matt Guthon, here on the Add to My Playlist podcast. This is definitely all these songs are going on your playlist. The whole library is going on your playlist. Let's not
Please,
joke
that'd
around.
Be great.
Come on. Here's to you and me here on the Add to My Playlist podcast. Matt, I love that you shared this. What I love when I hear the story behind the song is now I'm going to hear it differently than when I heard it the first time, right?
Absolutely. I love when people make their own interpretations, but once you hear it from the source, it's kind of. I love how it opens eyes a little bit, opens some minds.
It's beautiful. Okay, so here's you and me on the Out of My Playlist podcast. Hey, thanks for dropping by the Out of My Playlist podcast. This is the external version of our podcast for non-Spotify listeners, but if you go to Spotify and sign up, you can actually hear the song played here in the podcast without leaving. It's great. Otherwise, you can check us out on YouTube. We'll have links to the songs that we're speaking about within the podcast that you can click on and hear the songs there on YouTube. But thank you so much for listening to the Add to My Playlist podcast. Jump over to Spotify and check us out over there and see what you think. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. That was Here's to You and Me here on the Add to My Playlist podcast with Matt Guthon on the podcast. So glad to have everybody here, and I hope you're enjoying this. I am having a great time talking to Matt.
Same.
This is really fun. Thank you for making time for me, Matt.
Of course. Pleasure.
Let's do one more here, and then there's one other person I want to talk to you about
that
I would love to kind of get your pick your brain a little bit about this gentleman. But
sure.
Let's do Feel Like That. Come on. This is another newer one. So
let's
talk about Feel Like That.
I really love this, the way the song came out. Feel Like That is a song that was birthed during the pandemic, as you can tell by some of the lyrics. I think it was just a couple months in after we're all being locked down and trying to figure out what are we going to do, especially musicians who were, you know, a lot of them couldn't work. So I reached out to my friend Marie Dahlstrom, who is one of the finest soul singers and songwriters and musicians out there. Everybody check her out as well. Marie Dahlstrom.
Yeah.
And she heard the track and immediately, I would say within 24 hours, came back with a verse and a chorus. She loved it. And when I heard what she did, I was like, oh my God, Marie's amazing. I can't wait. So I wrote my verse. And it was done pretty quickly. The song is just about being locked up and why does it have to feel so horrible to be locked up and alone for a little while? And then, after we wrote the verses and the chorus, I was like, all right, we need a bridge. Here's a bunch of chords, and the bridge has a ton of chords in it, but, I really like the chord structure and the melody. So I was like, let's just write this. And that actually took us a minute. I was like, what if we, you know, were lovers that found each other after the pandemic, or that were, you know, what if we were brought together, or just a moment of hope after all this crazy, what is this pandemic? What is this? Like, nobody knew what was going on.
Yeah.
So I, after being confused during the verses and asking all the questions during the chorus, I was like, let's have a moment of hope and light. You know, most of the songs on my next record are going to be fairly uplifting, and hopeful. And I think this would be a way to tie it in. And we came up with that bridge over Zoom. I still haven't met Marie. She lives over in London. So, you gotta love the way you can make music these days. Yeah. And, we came up with the bridge. Yeah. And then, I sang my part. I did some background vocals, sent it to her. She sang hers and did her. She's so fun to work with. She's so easy. She's so nice. And she just, her voice and her talent is puts me in awe. She's amazing. And her new album comes out too, by the way. Check out her. I'm not in April. I'm on a couple songs on that as well. So check her out. Check the tune out. Sure. Add it to your playlist.
There you go. See?
Mm-hmm. I'm good.
There you go. You know it. There you go. Yeah. Is it? There you go. Yeah, you got it. I'll send you the check. I love it. That's great.
I love it.
Okay. So Feel Like That here on the Add to My Playlist podcast. And you're like, Dave, you're going through these songs so fast. It's because there's so much to talk about.
I love it, man. I'm here for you.
Please.
Got all day.
Please. Yeah. Add Feel Like That to your playlist here on the Add to My Playlist podcast. Matt, I love this. This is really great. Great song.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. I want everybody to add it today. Please do that now. Thank you, everybody.
Please.
Hi, I'm Matt Cusan, winner of the 2009 John Lennon Songwriting Contest Maxell Song of the Year. I'm here with Yoko Ono on the John Lennon Educational Tour Bus.
Imagine peace.
Every step just leads me back to you.
All right, everybody, that was Feel Like That on the Add to My Playlist podcast. This gentleman right here, Matt Cusan, is here, and he is, again, a great combo of jazz, soul, pop, all of that. Tell me a little bit, before we jump to my last person to talk about, Matt.
Okay.
Talk about a little bit of who you've toured with as well. Because your website, you have a list here.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit. Got any tour stories for me?
Oh, I have so many tour stories. As you said earlier, Brian McKnight for, 7-8 years or so. And that, you know, that was my first massive tour. When I was in my mid-20s and, just, the stuff I learned from him will never be forgotten and will always be in what I'm doing at some point. I've toured with, Christina Aguilera for a long time, and that was real special because with McKnight, I was playing piano and singing background. With Christina, I was solely background singer, but I was also hired to sing Say Something as a duet with her. So, you know, towards the end of her show, I would have to crawl, get down from, my little background singer high rise and go side stage, and literally all the lights would go out, spotlight would come on, and it would be little old me singing, "Say Something, I'm giving up on you." And she would walk out with her spotlight during her verse. We would end the song, just the two of us, center stage, holding hands. It was crazy because it's another singer I've listened to forever, you know, since her first record right. came out. To sing Genie in a Bottle with her is just insane. So that was really, really special. I was really, really nervous too. I've always been more of a guy that gets nervous instead of, you know, completely knocks it out of the park. So the, especially the first couple of shows, I was just shaking. She would hold my hand and my hand would just be, you know, going crazy. Plus we all had a crush on her when we were teenagers. So it was a little bit of that in there too. So Christina is amazing. Currently I tour with, the incredible Megan Hilty, who, if you don't know who Megan Hilty is, she's a massive Broadway Tony nominee, star. She's a TV star. She's a movie star. She is a, she's had deals with Sony and put out records, and she continues to put out amazing, amazing music. She is one of the best singers I've ever just accompanied on piano. We go from in her set from Broadway to jazz to pop to then she does a Dolly Parton song and she sounds unbelievable. She's one of those people that can just flip it and change her voice a touch and all of a sudden she's a perfect pop singer or a perfect Broadway singer. Like, she's really one of the most amazing singers I've ever gotten to accompany. And I also sing some duets with her. I've been on a couple of albums. Like, it's really been a joy to tour with her, to know her, and we've all become such great friends. So yeah, that's a couple. NDRE, Javier Colon, who I know you're a fan of. I've been touring with him on and off forever. He's one of my closest friends, introduced me to my wife, so I owe him my second child.
Serious? Really?
Yeah. He introduced me a long time ago at an event we were playing together. We were opening for, I want to say, Hootie and the Blowfish. And and she, my wife, who at the time was on a show called Deal or No Deal with Howie Mandel. Yeah, she was one of the case girls. She was one of the case. So, we were both in weird moments in our relationships, if we had any, or we just broke up and Javier was like, you need to meet her. And that was that. It's a longer story than that, but that's the gist of it.
Okay. So then that brings up a topic of, the moon and more. What happened here? Like, to do a song, is this a song for NASA? Like, what's going on?
It is. Somebody from NASA, our good friend, Dave, hit us up about, he was a fan of both of ours, was wondering if we'd be able to donate some time. It's an educational song. So we wanted it to be simple and more of the pop genre. The way it came about, he kind of told us what he wanted us to say in the song. And I think me and Hav started writing it while he was at the airport waiting for a plane and I was at my parents' house doing something. And we came up with the piano part. He added guitar to it. And it came about pretty quickly. My good friend Uriah Duffy, who I met touring with CeeLo Green, another person I toured with for a little bit, he played bass on it and crushed it. And we then shot the video all over New York and Connecticut. We got to go to some amazing places, and I love the way it all came out. I think the video came out beautiful, and it's one of those gigs. That's the first song I did for NASA. I actually did a couple of them, but that was for one of the LRO, which is a device they use up in space. I should know more about it, but it's been a few years since I've had to talk about it. So you kind of got me.
Yeah, I got you on that one.
You got me. Yeah, I love the whole project was awesome to do. From the writing with Hav is easy and fun always, and then the video, being able to go all over the place was pretty awesome. And if you check out the video, you can see all the amazing places we ended up.
The moment I heard him sing on The Voice for the first time, and those chairs started spinning around, I knew that the show was over.
It was a wrap. It was a wrap. Go to season two. Yeah, go to season two. No disrespect to the incredible singers that were on
No,
that
no, season. I know.
But Hav is special. He's a special, special singer.
What a talent.
Yeah, right? And playing. And he's one of those guys that just does everything so amazingly. And I'm seeing him. We're going on tour on the Dave Koz cruise up in May. So we're going to make a lot of music together over the next few months.
There's a confident humility when I hear him sing and perform.
Well said.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You can tell he sings with all the emotion a song deserves, but he also
his instrument is so uniquely beautiful and perfect that he can take a song anywhere. It's really, every time I tell him, we've been friends now, like close best friends almost for 20 years. And I say, every time, once in a while, I'll look over you while I'm playing next to you. And just like, man, you're the greatest singer ever. Like, come on, man. So it's such a joy to play. It's at the end of the day, we're making music with friends, and it's the best.
Awesome. And that's the best music to make. I love that. So
always
a bonus then for this episode, as we close off here in a moment, The Moon and More with Javier and Matt together, two best guys writing and performing together. Man. I love it. This is so the Moon and More, everyone here on the Adam
Enjoy
Playlist podcast, please add this to your
please playlist.
Thank you.
Thank you. Cool.
Hi everyone, this is Dave from Podcast You Jumping On Quick to tell you about TrueMediaSolutions.ca. What is TrueMediaSolutions.ca, you're asking? Well, TrueMediaSolutions.ca is the umbrella that is over all the different podcasts that we do here for you. We have several different podcasts, so if you go to TrueMediaSolutions.ca, take a look and you'll find all of the different podcasts that my wife Jennifer or myself do, either separately or together. Check us out. Find out more about the podcast that we're doing by going to truemediasolutions.ca. We'll meet you over there. See you soon. Okay, everybody. So that was The Moon and More. Javier Colon, if you will know him from The Voice, is where I first heard his amazing voice, and Matt together on that song. Great, great song. And we'll put the link as well.
Awesome.
In the show notes so people can see what we're talking about.
And so people know, Javier was on my first record as well. We did a song together called Same Old Song, well before The Voice. Same old song from the very first self-titled album.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah. That's news.
Yeah,
okay.
There you go.
I love that.
Add that to your playlist too. Yeah.
Add that one too. Come on, just add them all. That way you don't miss anything. Okay, so Matt, what's coming up for you in the future? I really like to kind of to get a sneak peek of what's coming.
For sure. Working on a lot of projects right now, a lot of really cool things. As I said before, I'm producing a record and working with Livingston Taylor, James Taylor's brother. I am working with James Taylor's background singer, Ola McCullough, on an album, and it's going to be so much fun, that record. Me and Arnold McCullough have worked a ton too, so check out our work together. We've done a ton of stuff together. Phenomenal voice, legend of a singer. But I am finishing up my record. My third record will finally be done this summer. I have about three or four more songs I got to record. And I'll be sprinkling little singles over the next 6-8 months before the record comes out. We're looking for a release in the fall. And I honestly have about 25 songs ready to go, but we're going to split it up. We're going to put a record out this year. We'll put some singles out. I feel like this record should have been my second record, because I went really lyrical and singer-songwriter with my second record. And I like the record a lot, but I think it was a big departure from my first record. So it kind of threw some people off. So this record probably should have been my second record. Got unbelievable collaborations, Marie Dahlstrom, Camila Marshall, who sings with Taylor Swift, tons of awesome artists, both of all different genres, from all over the world too. So I'm really excited about it. It could almost be called Matt Cusson and Friends, but not yet. That'll be the next record maybe. But yes, it's rounding out into shape. Out of the 20-25 songs that we've got, I know 10 of them are going to be on it, and then I'm going to record three more, and then we'll kind of figure out what's going to be in. But there'll be singles over the next few months, and there'll be No Light Yet just came out, and so check that out, and that we talked about, and hopefully it'll be out this fall.
Nice, Matt. This is great. I'm so glad to have you on the podcast. Really enjoy the music. I really enjoy the mix, and I think I was reading on your website, Matt, are you self-taught?
I am. Yeah. I started playing when I was like, I think I said 5 or 6 or 7. I remember it perfectly. I started playing Ribbon in the Sky, that intro. I think I was 6 or 7. And my mom, who's the classical piano teacher, I was playing it during one of her breaks. She was like, how'd you learn that song? I was like, I don't know. I just heard it. And I started playing it and I kind of figured it out. And that was that. And from there, that's the only way I ever learned how to play music. And I had the pleasure of doing things that only readers could do. Like I arranged a song for the New York Pops a couple of years ago and I had to sit with an orchestrator. And it's fascinating to watch. Just, you know, I'm over here and he's over here. And it's just like, I love the melding of the two completely opposite musicians getting together to create this arrangement. So yeah, I would love to learn someday. Maybe when some of the projects die down and the third album's done, I'll slowly pick it up. But you know, it's hard with work and 2-year-old. But I would love to have that in my bag as well, because I love arranging for orchestras, for choirs, acapella groups, whoever. And it'd be nice to be able to write it all down for them. But yeah, I was self-taught guitar player. I've taken many a voice lesson, so I owe my voice to a lot of the teachers that have taught me over the years. But self-taught pianist, and hopefully one of these days I'll figure out all the notes and all the chords and all the what they're called.
So Matt, for the fans that are listening that have been following you and loving your music, any special word from you to those that are joining us today?
Oh man, in such a crazy world, I always tell people just be kind. My friend Megan Hilty says it costs nothing to be kind, and that's kind of what I live by. It's what I'm teaching my daughter, and keep supporting musicians, because the pandemic crushed a lot of us. And let's go to the shows, buy the music, promote it, you know, on your socials and all that. And that's all just love. That's kind of where I'm at in these days. I just want happiness and love and music. Corny, but nice. I think it's needed. You know, it's needed this day and age.
It is so true. Okay, Matt, so where are you most active? If somebody wants to interact, where can people find you?
I'm on all the socials. I have a TikTok, though I haven't posted anything yet. But I'm very active on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find me anywhere. You can email me on my website. I'll always respond. And come find me. All my music is out everywhere you listen to music, and there'll be a lot of it coming out over the next couple years.
It's a joy to have you on the Add to My Playlist podcast, Matt. It's great.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Pleasure. This is a great podcast. I appreciate it.
To make time for me, I really appreciate that.
So. Always, always, always.
You got to come to Canada. You got to come to Canada.
Okay? I would love to. I've performed all over there, but I'd never done a show of my own up there. So I'll get up there. We're not too far away. It's, you know, 4 or 5 hour drive when we're in Montreal.
So, So here in Niagara Falls, Canada, we have a beautiful casinos here. Beautiful places to play.
I would love that. I'm going to call you about that too.
Grab Javier, throw him in the car. You're coming for a road trip? Done. And then come on up here.
Let's do it. I'm down.
I'll be front row.
I love it. Let's make it happen.
There you go.
Let's do it. Thank you so much, man. This was fun.
Thank you so much, man.
All right.
Great to meet you.
Likewise. We'll see you.